Good evening. I'd like to thank the Lord for giving me an opportunity to stand before you with this holy word. And if you will turn to Amos chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Amos chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. It's been almost a year and a half or so that I've spoken from up here. So bear with me if I'm a little choppy tonight. I'm not one of those gifted, heavy-duty speakers. So, and tonight is a special night for me. My Bible teacher, Mr. McKendrick, is here tonight. Mr. and Mrs. McKendrick used to come to our house once a week for years. And even if there is 1 foot of snow, they would still drive from Holland all the way to Byron Center to teach me Bible. And they have spent hours investing their lives teaching me Bible. And they're one of the reasons why I was able to switch from Malayalam Bible to English Bible. And I pray that the Lord would bless them and for their many hours they have invested in me. And Amos chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind, who declares to man what his thought is, and makes the morning darkness, who treads the high places of the earth, the Lord God of hosts is his name. O God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that thou would bless this time together. Pray that thou would enable me to speak clearly. And pray that thou would speak to the hearts of the listeners. We ask these things in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. While I was reading through the book of Amos, one of the verses that struck me is, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Here, Amos is asking the nation of Israel to prepare to meet their God. They are to prepare to meet their God, not to receive favor or not to receive reward, but for judgment. I would like to pause here to give us some background about what led up to God making this statement through Amos, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. First, let's look at who is Amos. Amos chapter 1, verse 1, we read, the words of Amos, who was among the sheep bearers of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And also in Amos chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of prophet, but I was a sheep bearer and a tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. From these verses we see Amos was a sheep bearer and a tender of sycamore trees. If you recall, the nation of Israel was divided into two after the reign of King Solomon into Israel and Judah. Two tribes in the south, Judah and Benjamin, made up the southern kingdom of Judah. And 10 tribes in the north made up the country called Israel. Amos was from a town called Tekoa, south of Jerusalem, from the country of Judah. He was not a son of a prophet, or nor one of those paid professional prophets in those days. God basically asked this Judean shepherd or dresser of sycamore fruits to go and prophesy to the people of Israel. Amos' main message to the nation of Israel was God's imminent judgment. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Amos prophesied while Uzziah was king of Judah, and Jeroboam II was the king of Israel. The study materials that I have used suggested that Amos was written, or Amos was prophesied, Amos prophesied in 760 BC. Under Jeroboam II, Israel became very prosperous economically. Amos chapter 3 verse 15 we read, I will destroy the winter house along with the summer house. The houses of ivory shall perish. And also Amos chapter 5 verse 11 we read, though you have built houses of hewn stone, yet you shall not dwell in them. During Jeroboam II's time, the rich people had a lot of wealth. They had two houses, one for winter and one for summer. They had houses filled with ivory and houses made with stones. We read in 2 Kings chapter 14 that Jeroboam II was successful militarily and restored territory of Israel. 2 Kings chapter 14 verse 24, speaking of Jeroboam II, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He restored the territory of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the Sea of Araba, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel. It was during this prosperous time under Jeroboam II that God asked Amos to go and prophesy to the people there. Next, let's look at why God asked Amos to go and prophesy to the people of Israel about God's coming judgment. From the outside, you would think the nation of Israel is blessed economically and militarily. It was the best the nation has ever been blessed after the prosperous time of King Solomon. Some of the people were even waiting for the day of the Lord, where the Lord would come and judge their enemies. Amos chapter 5 verse 18 we read, woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. For what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light. Lord basically told Israel through Amos that the day of the Lord is not going to be a good day, but a bad day for the nation of Israel. It will be darkness, and the God is going to judge them. In Amos chapter 3 verse 1 we read, hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known from all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Even though the children of Israel were privileged to be chosen by God among all the nations of the earth, God is still going to punish them because of their iniquities. Amos chapter 1 verse 2 we read, the Lord roars from Zion. The word roar suggests that the Lord is so fed up of their iniquities, and his righteous anger is against them. Amos chapter 3 verse 4 we read, will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? The word roar suggests that disaster is going to happen to the nation of Israel. They are the prey. Amos chapter 3 verse 8 we read, a lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? Since the Lord has spoken against the nation of Israel, Amos must prophesy about God's coming judgment. The prophecy of Amos starts with God's judgment surrounding the nation of Israel. God calls out each nation and say, for three transgressions of such and such nation, and for four. This phrase keeps repeating. In other words, these nations have sinned again and again, not just once. If you read through these accusations, we understand that God is a just God. He will not let any sin go unpunished, even if it is by a Gentile nation or a nation chosen by him. The phrase, I will not turn away its punishment, repeats in this book. In this book, we also see the character of God, how he values, how we treat humans, and how we deal with God and his commandments. The requirement of God does not change when we come to New Testament either. Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40 we read, "Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question testing him, saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said to them, 'You shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" God requires us to love him and love others. When we read through these accusations that Lord brought up regarding these nations in Amos chapter 1 and 2, we do not see these people had love for God and others. Judah and Israel were no different. Amos chapter 1 verse 3, we read, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron." The Damascus, or the nation of Syria, brutally oppressed the children of Israel. In other words, Damascus crushed Gilead as grain is threshed with iron sledges. 2 Kings chapter 13 verse 7 we read, "For the king of Syria had destroyed them," speaking of Israel, "and made them like the dust at the threshing." The phrase "made them like dust at the threshing" describes the brutality of Syrians. God is going to punish this Gentile nation for their cruelty against Gilead, one of the areas under Israel. Amos chapter 1, verse 6. "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they took captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom." Here we see God is going to punish the Philistine cities such as Gaza, because they attacked villages in Israel and took them as slaves to be sold in Edom. Amos chapter 1 verse 9 we read, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood." We see that Tyre did not keep the treaty with Israel. For example, in 1 Kings chapter 5, we see there was a treaty between King of Tyre and King of Solomon, where King Solomon got wood and gold to build the house of the Lord and his house. In the book of Amos, God is going to punish Tyre for not keeping the treaty and attacking Israel and taking them as slaves to be sold in Edom. Again, in Amos chapter 1, verse 11, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword and cast off all pity. His anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever." Here we see God is going to punish Edom for a merciless attack against their brother Israel. If you remember, Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. The descendants of Esau became Edomites, and the descendants of Jacob became Israel. Nation of Israel later got divided into Israel and Judah. God is going to punish Edom for their violence against Israel and Judah without pity, in anger and wrath. Amos chapter 1 verse 13, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of people of Ammon and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they ripped open the woman with child in Gilead, that they might enlarge their territory. Here God is going to punish Ammon for their brutality during their efforts to enlarge their territory into Gilgal, or into Gilead. They did not show mercy even to pregnant women. They cruelly killed them. Amos chapter 2, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he burned the bones of king of Edom to lime. Here, Moab is not going to be punished because of their sins against Israel, but for desecrating and burning the bones of king of Edom to lime. So far we saw how God is a just God and will not let any sin go unpunished, whether the crime is against Israel or any other country. God is going to punish these countries surrounding Israel for their brutality against Israel and against one another, against how they treat other humans. Next, we see Amos prophesy against Judah. Amos chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments. Their lies led them astray, lies which their fathers followed. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces, it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Judah is not a pagan nation. As I said earlier, tribes south of the nation of Israel, Judah and Benjamin, make up the nation of Judah. The charges against them were serious. Unlike the pagan nations, they had the law of God. But they despised or blatantly rejected the law of the Lord and did not keep or observe his commandments. Their lies or idols made them go astray from God. Because of that, God is going to punish them. In the rest of the book, we see God's chosen people, Israel, was not immune from God's judgment either. God is a just God. He's going to punish people of Israel for how they treat others and how they dealt with God. Lord, through Amos, said, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. As I said before, from outside, here is a nation that's economically and militarily prosperous. But God brings out few accusations through Amos regarding the people of Israel. If you notice the accusations, we understand what God dislikes about Israel. Amos chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they sell the righteous for silver and poor for a pair of sandals. They pant after the dust of the earth, which is on the head of the poor, and pervert the way of the humble. A man and his father go into the same girl to defile my holy name. They lie down by every altar on clothes taken in pledge, and drink the wine of contempt in the house of their God. Here we see God is against social injustice that happened in Israel, and how rich treated poor people. The justice system was corrupt. They sold righteous for silver. People who were supposed to be legally let go were forced to be sold into debt slavery until the debt is paid. Probably the rich people might have charged high, unfair interest where these poor people couldn't pay off. They might have taken their money and possessions. The rich people were getting off of poor people. The rights of poor people were trampled upon. They perverted the way of the humble. In other words, the righteous and the poor were denied justice. Then God accuses them of defiling or profaning his holy name because of their sexual immorality that happened in their worship places. They did this while laying on the clothes they collected from these poor debtors as a security deposit for the loan. And they drank wine purchased with the money they extracted unjustly from these poor debtors. Exodus chapter 22 verse 26 we read, "If you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. For that is his only covering. It is his garment for his skin. What will he sleep in? And it will be that when he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious." God required that the garments that were taken as a pledge for loan be returned before the sun goes down. But here we see these rich people came to the altar, the house of the pagan god, drunk with wine, laid on the clothes they took from the poor debtors, and committed sexual immorality as a part of worship. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17, we read, God says, "There shall be no ritual harlot of daughters of Israel or a perverted one of the sons of Israel." And also in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 19, God says, "You shall not charge interest to your brother, interest on the money or food or anything that is lent out at interest." In the book of Amos, we see the people of Israel broke those laws. Rich got rich at the expense of poor, and they defiled God's name by their sinful, immoral conduct at worship places. God is concerned about our conduct towards him and to other people. Even the rich people in Samaria were no better than men and were not exempt from God's judgment. We see that in Amos chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. "Hear this word, you cows of Bashan," referring to rich women, "who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppresses the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, 'Bring wine, let us drink. The Lord has sworn by his holiness, behold, the day shall come upon you when he will take you away with fish hooks and your posterity with fish hooks.'" Here we see the rich woman of Samaria also oppressed the poor and crushed the needy. They demanded their husbands to bring wine so that they could drink and maintain their affluent, high-class life. God is going to punish them for the way they treated poor and needy, where they and their children will be taken as captives by Assyrians. Again, in Amos chapter 5, verses 10 to 13, we see similar accusations brought up by God through Amos on how they treated poor and perverted the justice. Amos chapter 5, starting with verse 10. "They hate the one who rebukes in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks uprightly. Therefore, because you tread down the poor and take grain taxes from him, though you have built houses of hewn stone, yet you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine from them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins, afflicting the just and taking bribes, diverting the poor from justice at the gate. Therefore the prudent keep silent at that time, for it is an evil time." Here, Lord is saying that it is an evil time where they hated the people who spoke truth. They hated honest judges. They silenced those who stood up for righteousness. They unjustly taxed poor and oppressed them. The whole court system was corrupt. The rich diverted justice at the court to work for their benefit by bribing. Here Lord is saying he knows many transgressions and mighty sins against the just and the poor. God is going to punish them by expelling them from their nation and allowing Assyrians to come and take over. Again, Amos chapter 5, verses 21 and 23, we read, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. Here we see the temple rituals were going in full swing, such as burnt offerings, grain offerings, fattened peace offerings, songs with stringed instruments, and so on. But God said he hated and despised their worship. He is not going to accept any of their offerings. Why? Because these people ignored and oppressed the poor. The justice system was corrupt. Righteous people were silenced. They sinned, worshipped idols, and so on. God is not going to accept their worship while they do evil and injustice against poor and righteous people. Amos chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, we read, come to Bethel and transgress, and Gilgal, multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Proclaim and announce the freewill offerings. For this you love, you children of Israel, says the Lord God. From these verses we see Israel loved the external temple rituals. God is saying each time they bring sacrifices, they are multiplying their transgressions. If you remember in 1 Kings chapter 12, Jeroboam first built two golden calves and erected one in Bethel and another one in Dan, so that the people of Israel won't go to Jerusalem to the house of the Lord that Solomon built to offer sacrifices. Also in 1 Kings chapter 12, we read that, speaking of Jeroboam first, he made shrines on high places, made priests from every class of people who were not sons of Levi. Jeroboam 1 started idol worship in Israel and recruited people from the people that are not children of Levi as priests. The idol worship continued under Jeroboam 2 in places like Bethel and in Gilgal. But the injustice against poor was rampant. There was now no love for God or fellow citizens. If you read the rest of the chapter of Amos chapter 4, God reminded them that he punished them over and over with famine, drought, plague, and got them defeated during wars. But still, they did not return to God. Leviticus chapter 26, God told them they will be blessed if they obey God. But if not, all these disasters will happen to them as punishment. When these disasters happened, they should have realized that God was punishing them for their disobedience and should have turned back to God. Amos chapter 4, verse 11, we read, I overthrew some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a firebrand plucked from the burning. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Even though God punished them, God was merciful and saved them from fully perishing, but they still did not return to the Lord. Amos chapter 4, verse 12, we read, therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Because they have not heeded to God's corrections and have not turned back to God, God is now saying, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. God is going to punish them in a larger scale. Nation of Israel will be destroyed. Amos chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, we read, for behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind, who declares to man what his thought is, and makes morning darkness, who threads the high places of earth. The Lord God of hosts is his name. Here God reminded them who their true God is and who they are going to meet in judgment. He is not like the golden calves or other gods they have been serving, but he is an all-powerful creator God who formed mountain and wind. Unlike other pagan gods, he is all-knowing God who knows what their thoughts are, the corruption that's happening behind the scenes, the injustice that's happening, the sexual immorality that's happening, the idol worship and so on. Nothing is hidden from him. Basically, God through Amos reminded them that the Lord God of hosts is his name. Be prepared to meet me. It won't be like meeting their pagan gods, but they are going to meet the all-powerful creator God, the Lord God of hosts. God calls that day the day of the Lord. Amos chapter 5, verses 16 through 20 we read, "Therefore, the Lord God of hosts, the Lord says this, there will be wailing in all streets, and they shall say in the highways, alas, alas, they shall call the farmer to mourning, and skillful lamenters to wailing. In all vineyards there shall be wailing, for I will pass through you, says the Lord. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. For what good is day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or as though he went into the house, leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it?" Again, in Amos chapter 5, verse 27, we read, "Therefore, I will send you into captivity beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts." Again, in Amos chapter 6, verse 14, we read, "But behold, I will rise up a nation against you, O house of Israel, says the Lord God of hosts, and they will afflict you from the entrance of Hamath to the valley of the Rabbah." During the day of the Lord, when they meet the Lord God of hosts, it will be a day of darkness. Their pagan gods and their external religiosity and rituals, their military power, won't be able to save them from the Assyrian enemy that God is going to raise up. They will be taken as captives. They will be afflicted. They will be wailing, sorrow, and crying. They won't be able to escape the judgment. We see this prophecy come to pass about 40 years or so later in 2 Kings chapter 17, where the Assyrian king came and took them as captives. 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 22 and 23, we read, "For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They did not depart from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he said by all his servants, the prophets. So Israel was carried away from their own land to Assyria, as to this day." In Amos chapter 5, we see God making a final appeal to the nation of Israel through Amos. God tells them how they are supposed to prepare to meet God. Amos chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. "For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live, but do not seek Bethel, nor enter Gilgal, nor pass over to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, with no one to quench it in Bethel." First thing that the children of Israel is supposed to do as preparation to meet the God is to seek God to live. They should not go after Bethel, Gilgal, or Beersheba, where there are idols. If they don't seek God, death is certain as punishment. In other words, they need to love God with all their hearts, forsaking idols. Amos chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, so that the Lord God of hosts will be with you. As you have spoken, hate evil, love good, establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Second thing that they're supposed to do is to seek good, to love. They are to hate evil and love good. They must do good by establishing justice system in their courts, removing corruption, and being kind to the poor. In other words, they should love others, not trying to thrive off poor, righteous people. Here God says God will be gracious to the remnant if they seek good and hate evil. Then Amos chapter 5, verse 24. But let justice run down like water, and the righteousness like a mighty stream. Third thing that God told them to do was to let the society be saturated and soaked in with justice and righteousness. They should do justice in their court, protecting poor, weak, innocent, and honest people. They should do that which is right to others as God demands. Sadly, in Amos chapter 7, we read Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, complained to King Jeroboam about Amos, and the king asked Amos to get out of Israel and to go to Judah. The priest, the king, the nation of Israel as a whole rejected God's plea through Amos. As I mentioned earlier, 40 years or so later, God punished them by allowing Assyrians to come and take them as captives. In summary, we saw how the nation of Israel was prosperous under Jeroboam II. But deep inside, there were corruption, injustice, oppression of poor, sexual immorality, worship of idols, overindulgence, and so on. God, through Amos, warned them of imminent judgment. He called it the day of the Lord. God tried to correct them multiple times through various judgments, but they completely ignored it. God had enough with them. God, through Amos, said, "Prepare to meet your God, O Israel." Yet we see God is merciful and is exhorting them to seek him, to live, and to seek good and to hate evil, to live. He wants justice and righteousness to flow like a mighty stream. In chapters 7 and 8, Amos tells the nation of Israel about various visions that he saw concerning them. Basically, through this vision, Amos told them about coming judgment, and the judgment is going to happen for sure. The book of Amos ends with a glimpse of hope that God will mercifully bring the remnant back to their land, never to be plucked out. God is not going to wipe them out just like the nation of Edom. He's going to be merciful to them, and the Israel will be restored, and in future is going to be flourished during millennial reign. Before I end this message, let me ask you this question. Are you prepared to meet your God? You can completely ignore this prophecy and say, "This was meant for children of Israel." God never changes. His requirement never changes. The times we live are similar to the times of Amos, where the righteous are getting silenced. The term marriage is now redefined. We have chased God from our government and schools. It is a fact that all of us will meet God. The question is, where you're going to meet him. If you die without Christ, you will be meeting God at the great white throne judgment. You will be judged and be cast into the lake of fire. If you die with Christ, you will meet God at the judgment seat of Christ, where your deeds will be reviewed. Good deeds will result in reward, and bad deeds will result in loss of reward. If you are not a believer in Christ Jesus, I exhort you to repent, confess your sins, and accept Christ Jesus as your personal Savior. Be prepared to meet God. Without Christ in your heart, you are not prepared to meet God. You will end up in lake of fire for eternity. Seek Christ. Love Him with all your heart. Love your fellow believers. Seek good and hate evil. Let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. May the Lord enable us to do so. May His name be glorified. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for helping us to sit in Thy presence. O God, we thank Thee for Thy Son, Lord Jesus Christ, for the salvation Thou hast offered through Christ Jesus. Father, we saw how God never changes and His requirement never changes, how He desires us to love God with all our heart and to love our neighbor as ourself. Father, we pray that Thou would enable us to love our fellow believers and love Thee with all our heart. Father, often we are sinners and we often fall short. Father, pray that Thou would forgive our sins. Father, we pray for those who are not believers. Pray that Thy Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts. We pray that they won't meet a stranger at the great white throne judgment. Pray that they would meet Christ while they live in this world personally, and pray that Thy Holy Spirit would show that Christ is the Son of God and that He died for their sins. So we are so thankful for Thy Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us as we depart. We ask this in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.